All right, young people, listen up very carefully while they're getting the song. We'll enjoy Brother Daniels. It's a privilege and a blessing to have Evangelist Kevin Walker with us this year. I don't know if there is a preacher in America that has more fun with young people than Brother Walker does. He has a track record of wherever he goes, whatever he's done. God has blessed him from the assistant pastor ministry to the camp director ministry to now his evangelism and kids' crusades. And God's hand is on him and blessed him. He and his wife and his kids. And we had a great, great big day last fall with Brother Walker here. Just a tremendous day. And he does a great job. Pastors, if you want somebody to come in and have a really special day for you, he's got the setup to do it. And he'll do a super job. And I'm excited that Brother Walker is our guest speaker this year. Young people, you won't have any trouble. How many of you young people have not heard Brother Walker preach? Would you raise your hand real high? Real high. That surprises me. All right, very good. You got quite a half the crowd, Brother Kevin, so you can preach that old sermon tonight. Amen. It'll work again. All right. All right, Brother Daniels, God bless you. When I was in Bible college, Brother Daniels was singing, and Brother Daniels is still singing. Amen. Amen. And you'll get a blessing out of his singing, I promise you, tonight.
Alabama, and I'm old-fashioned. I wouldn't do this except Brother Walker's preaching tonight, and so I feel at home with somebody like him preaching. But Brother Angel, I went out to Coyote Canyon tonight, and I said, well, you know, I'm not supposed to sing until tomorrow night. I'm going to have some of that brisket and all that hot sauce. And so, oh, we sure do enjoy coming. This is our fourth year. I'm always afraid Brother Raritan's going to get tired of me and not ask me to come back, but we love to come, and I'm always glad to get to sing about the Lord. I'm a little short of breath tonight, but I'm looking forward to that day when we'll be with the Lord forever. This is just a little taste of what it's going to be like, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. There is coming the day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore, on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. My Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
tell you what, I enjoy hearing Brother Daniel sing, and that's good. We went to Hiles Anderson College together back when Abraham Lincoln was president. And I tell you what, remember them college days, Brother Reardon was there too. Oh, yeah. Got tuned into the power here now. Brother Reardon was there. Boy, I tell you what, I remember them days. Just seemed like it was yesterday. We were sitting in class together, and he would lean over trying to cheat off me, trying to get the answers from my papers and all. And he was preparing himself for this pilot student convention. Amen. Yeah. Just seemed like yesterday he'd fall asleep in chapel, and Brother House would fuss at him, you know. And he'd have his head down, just drool coming out of his mouth. He was out, but he was so spiritual, he could just sleep through that preaching. Amen. But anyway, it didn't seem that long ago. And thank the Lord for good memories. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. And it's good to get to be back here at Faith Baptist Church and to see all these young people here for this convention. We've been looking forward to it. Everybody's been asking about my family. Where's Loretta? Where's the kids? Where's Jack, your dog? Where's Gabby? Where's all these folks at? And just to let everybody know one time, okay? Now listen close. I'll tell you one time. Everybody's been asking me, so I'm going to tell you all at one time. They're not here, okay? They're not here. They're actually sleeping in. They had a hangover from the party last night, and they couldn't come. But, you know, we was at one of them places where we was singing and doing some line dancing and all, and anyway, they just can't hold their liquor like they used to. But no, I'm teasing. No, they're not at all. They're trying to tie up some loose ends. We're getting ready to hit the road for several weeks for a tour of meetings. And so they're unable to be here tonight, but they send their love. And thank you for asking about them. Just don't ask about them again. You know, nobody says, Brother Walker, where are you at? I'm here. Amen. That's right, but thank you for asking and for your prayers and concern. Thank you for those of you that's been praying for us and for the meeting. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22, and thank you, Brother Reardon, and thank you, Pastor Angel, for the opportunity to get to speak here. Looking forward to being with you these next couple days. And I hope you all do your best for the Lord. Amen. Now is not the time to be studying for your parts and memorizing things. Not now. You don't want to do it now. Okay, this would be a bad time. Because if I see you doing that, well, I'll just walk right over to where you're at. And that would not be real comfortable for you. And so you just look right up here. Put all the distractions out of your mind. Okay, and focus on hand. I promise you, let's see, what time is it? There's not a clock around here. Oh, there's a calendar up here, okay. No, there's a clock on my right hand here. All right, so it looks like it's about 20 till 8 by my watch. So I promise you by 8 o'clock we'll be done in the morning, okay? But no, we'll jump right in the message. I think you enjoy it. Want to try to keep your attention, and we are glad to have the opportunity. Matthew chapter number 22. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 22, and we will begin reading in verse number 34. Matthew chapter 22, and verse number 34. The Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.'" Well, God wants us to love him. You know that? He wants us to love him. Now, do you love him? You know, some people are easier to love than others. You know, it's easy to love Pastor Angel, isn't it? Isn't he a blessing? Just nice and warm and friendly. Never hurt anybody. I'm sure he's mild-mannered and just never would hurt anybody's feelings. Huh? But you know, he's a preacher that's easy to love. Folks, everywhere I go, I can't find any. I've been trying to find somebody to say something bad about him, and nobody will. Huh? They like him. Now, some people are easier to love than others. But you know, I know what you're thinking of. You're thinking, well, I know somebody that ain't. Thinking of your brother, ain't you? Thinking of your sister. Thinking of your, how many are thinking of your principal or teacher that's here with? No, don't put, raise your hand up now. Same time to be that honest, okay? It says, we're supposed to love God. It says, this is the first and great commandment. In verse number 39, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the Bible says everything hangs on those two. If you can get those two right, everything else is going to be okay. Because the first set of the Ten Commandments, the first four there, deal with man's relationship to God. Those first ones, you know. Not having any other gods before you, and no graven images, and don't take the name of the Lord in vain, and remember the Sabbath day. Those are all dealing with your relationship with God. And then the next, the rest of them, deal with our relationship with man. Honor the father and the mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. You didn't know I knew all of them, did you? I'm pretty good. I went to college. Yeah, graduated. Know all them Ten Commandments. He says, now everything hangs on those two right there. Because if you love God like y'all, see, if you love your neighbor like you ought to, you're not going to want to steal his wife. Yeah. If you love your neighbor like you love yourself, well, you know, then you're not going to be lying about him. Right? You're not going to want to kill him. Yeah. So, you know, if we just get that right. The Bible also says over in James, it tells us that that's the royal law. Do you know that? It's a royal law that we need to get a hold of. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all these groups that are represented here. And Lord, I pray you bless now these next few moments. Holy Spirit of God, as I yield myself to you, I pray you'd help me, that you'd use me, that tonight decisions would be made. And Lord, we put aside any distractions we might have and focus on the message at hand. Give us something from your word. Help us tonight to be better for you. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You can be seated. My Bible tells me over in the book of Titus, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. And the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors become as holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Did you see that right there? The Bible says that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to love. What is there about love that we need to learn? We need to learn how to love. This world has a misconception of love, don't they? They'll throw out that word real loosely. I love you. Man, I know when I was growing up before I knew any better, man, I'd have a girlfriend. Oh, I'd love her and I'd tell her. But I didn't really love her. But I said that word. For I knew better. You know? And some of you use that word real loose. You know, I love you. I love her. No, you don't. We throw it out there real quick. What is there about love that we need to learn? We need to learn how to do it. That's what the Bible says. Now, I want you old women to teach the young women how to love. That's what the Bible says. You need to learn how to do it. So you ain't ready to love yet, so wait till you get ready. Oh, you wait till you get ready. My goodness, you might have some kind of a hum, daddy, mama, sweet baby, like my Loretta Jean. Woo, she learned how to love. Yeah, I was glad I waited for her. Amen? Yeah, you got to learn how to do it. Man, we need that. You know, love is the greatest emotional need you got. You know, when you feel loved, the whole world looks better. I can tell people that are secure, people that's secure in their love, you don't need a boyfriend to make you be secure. Because you're secure in your love. See, parents, if you give your kids the right kind of love, and they feel loved by mom and daddy, and if they got a good relationship with God, they're going to be secure in their love. They're not going to need all kind of boyfriends telling them that they love him. Not going to need all kind of girlfriends telling them that they love him. See? Because, man, you're secure in that relationship that you got with the Lord and with your parents. Now, you know, what is it about this love we need to learn? Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Don Reardon, he went to that one of them love conferences, you know. Because he needed to learn how to love. And so he went to one of them love conferences, and he come back home. And he thought, man, I'm gonna learn how to express love to my wife. I don't want her to have no doubt in her mind about my love. And so he bought a big old box of chocolates. And he bought him a big old bouquet of roses. And he even put some smell good stuff on. And instead of just walking in the house, he knocked on the door. She came and opened up the door, and there she saw Don. Standing there with a big old smile on his face. Had that candy and them roses, and he even smelled good. And as soon as she saw him, she just burst into tears. She just started squalling. He said, "Daughter, what's the matter?" He said, "Oh, it's been a horrible day." She said, "It's been a horrible day. I can't believe it. I burnt supper. Oh, my goodness, it's been horrible while the toilet stopped up. Oh, it's been horrible." And then Brianna, she broke her arm beating off the boys. "Oh, I tell you what, it's just terrible. And now you come home drunk." Now, I hope he quit drinking. But that's the truth, wasn't it? Yeah, she'd tell you right there, that's the truth. Hell yeah, because he's wanting to learn how to say he wants his wife to feel loved. Boy, you know that, you know, we need to feel loved. We do. You need it. I got a note here. A little girl wrote me, says, "Dear Brother Walker, I just wanted to thank you for being such a blessing in my life. Also wanted to thank you for giving me advice. You mean so much to me that your advice made my day, and you taught me a very valuable lesson, one I'll never forget. In Christ." Her name is Ashley. Says, "P.S. You are my favorite missionary evangelist!" Exclamation point. Big letters. "That is why you mean so," big letters, underline, "much to me. I'm really glad I was able to meet you and your family 2 years ago. I'm glad God brings special," big letters, underline, "people like you," big letters, underline, "in my life," smiley face with the tongue sticking out. Boy, she wrote that, and you know what? I felt loved. That was a blessing to me. I have kept this. Because every once in a while, I'll just pull it out and read it. Because you know why? We need to feel like that we made a difference. We need to feel like that to somebody we're special. To somebody that somebody loves us. I wonder, is there any doubt in your parents' minds that you love them? I wonder, is there any wonder, do your preacher look at you and say, "I wonder if my kids love me"? I wonder if the school principal or the teachers feel like that the kids just could give a rip. Do they feel loved? I wonder, teachers, does your students feel loved by you? Do they feel loved by you, pastor? They say, "Man, I can feel it. They can sense it." There's some people that you can be with in a few moments. You feel warm. You feel good. You feel like you can tell that they love me. Man, that's what we need. We need to learn that. I tell you what, that'll help you in your relationship, because life is relationships. And relationships are people. And communication is the key to healthy relationships. And so, therefore, we need to learn how to communicate love in the right way. Right. And so, you know, my boy doesn't communicate love by holding all the teenage girls' hands. He's to learn how to communicate it. Don't have to do it that way. You wait till you get a license to do that, see. Amen? Now, I need somebody to come up here and help me for visual aid. Brother Jason. Oh, there's Brother Jason. Brother Jason. He spells his name M-O-N-C-O-F-S-K-Y. Jason. Come on up here, Brother Jason. Brother Jason's going to help me tonight. He's going to be a visual aid. Amen. I thank you for volunteering. I appreciate that. Yes, indeed. Volunteers, I need you to help me with something. Now, I'm going to teach you something, and if you listen to me tonight, this is going to help you. If you listen to me tonight, this message can apply to everybody here. It can apply to every relationship you got with people, as long as they're people. Amen. With your mom and your dad, your preacher, to congregation, teacher to student, student to teacher, you know, brother and sister, all that good stuff. It's right here. This is the first thing I'm going to teach. I'm going to teach you how to say, I love you. Buy you a big set of lips, amen? Walk around with them lips, amen? Right there, that's going to represent the first way that you can say I love you is with words. Words. Words say, I love you. Amen? That's right. Words that build up are a powerful motivator. Do you know that? Encouraging positive words to build up. Man, those will motivate people. They say, I love you. You know, for a husband to say to his wife, saying, boy, you look good in that dress. That's saying, I love you. Now, I wouldn't say that to all the women in the church. That would not be a good way. But to your wife, that's okay. That's all right for you to do that. Yeah, tell them. See, boy, that's a motivating tool. Mark Twain said that I can live for 2 months off of a good compliment. A good one. And one way to say I love you is to use words that build up. We need to learn how to love in the right way. You need to learn how to show your love to your parents. You need to learn how to show your love to your schoolmates. And you need to show your love to your teachers in class. You need to learn how to do it. It'll help you. If you learn, man, I can say words, positive, encouraging words. It's going to build up. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue's got power to give life. Your tongue has power to kill. How are you using your tongue? You killing or you bringing life? Is school a better place when you're not there? Because you're death. I know some. Woo, Lord, help me. Hey, your words. Bible says, Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Huh? I tell you what, you can use some words and it just help brighten somebody's day. It helped them. People can feel loved or hated by the words. I'm talking about compliments. I'm talking about saying positive things. You know, I'm not saying that you would tell your sister, this is not a compliment, saying, well, you don't sweat much for a fat girl. That's not a compliment. Well, it's true. Well, there's some things that's true that don't need to be said. Leave it alone. You find something else. Say, you know what? Tell her, say, of all the sisters I got, well, you're one of them. You find something. Some word of appreciation. Something that you can compliment them and say. You know, it's good to be appreciative. It's good for you to learn how to say positive words, encouraging words. You know, encouraging words say, I love you. You feel loved by the other youth group, the rest of the youth group, whenever they encourage you. And maybe, I don't know, do you all have preachable competition in this thing? Or singing? Or what is it? You got preaching? Okay. All right. So, boy gets up to preach. And he comes, sits down. You say, boy, you did a good job. I bet you're going to win. You are going to place. Man, that was great. You know what you're doing? You're inspiring courage. You know? You inspire and encourage. I heard somebody out in the hallway and a girl come out and they said, hey, how do you think you did? How do you think you did? Oh, I don't know. I don't really don't know. It's just, oh, hey, I think you did great. I really think you're going to place. You know what she was doing? She was inspiring. She was inspiring, encouraging words inspire people to go on and to reach their potential. I know my wife, Loretta, she's done that with our family. She's very inspiring with the words and very encouraging, and she's a cheerleader of the home. By the way, that's what a lady ought to be, is a cheerleader in the home. Amen? Yeah, and I'm not talking about carrying pom-poms around all the time while your kids are drying the dishes. Go, Daddy, go. Go, Daddy. Okay? I'm not talking about that. Okay, I'm talking about somebody that's encouraged. She said, Kevin, you know, she always says it's because of me that our family's playing instruments and singing. But I think more, it's probably more her. She said, my goodness, you can just do anything. Before I could even play a chord on that guitar, she's saying, you're doing good. And She'd say, man, I just can't believe it. You can just do anything. You are unbelievable. You just make me sick. You just got so much. You know what she was doing? She was building. She was encouraging. Do you ever say anything like that to somebody else? Or are you just so jealous of him you can't even bear to whisper a compliment? Because he can preach and you can't. Huh? That, you know, words that inspire people, words that motivate. Hey, that says, I love you. When's the last time you said something positive? When's the last time you said, preacher, that was a great message. I want you to know I needed that. Huh? When's the last time you went to your Sunday school teacher and said, Sunday school teacher, thank you for that lesson. I needed that lesson. That was very good. I appreciate all the hard work you... Those words! You need to learn how to say, I love you with your words. You don't have to say, I love you. You can just say, I love you by saying, boy, you look sharp today. That is a nice outfit. Where'd you get that? Salvation Army? Okay, anyway. But you inspire, okay? You can learn to do that with words. Man, I can go on with that. Let me give you another one. Where's my bag at? Here it is. All right. How to say I love you. First way that we can do it is with what? Our words. Do you say I love you with your words? How you treat people? Stay out of my room. All creeps stay away. This means you. Oh boy, your brother feels so loved by you, doesn't he? Yeah, well, how can we do it? We won't feel loved. Well, you know, you ought to. You know, you ought to be close to your family. You ought to be close to your brother and sister. You know, I mean, why can't your best friend be your brother or your sister? Can be. I tell you the reason why you don't like them is because the way they've treated you. And the way you treat them. By the way, parents, it's probably the way you've been allowing them to treat each other. Treat each other like dirt and that stupid stuff, putting notes on the door and, you know, fungus stay out and, you know, all that stuff. Boy, that just really makes the home a pleasant place to be, you know. Fighting about stuff, drawing lines in the seat, say, don't cross. Mom, he's on my side. It's like, man, you can't stand him. You hate him. It ought not to be like that. Hey, hold your hand out there, buddy. All right, got a gift right there. Gifts. That's one way to communicate love, is gifts. You need to learn how to communicate it in the right way, in the right realm. You know, you don't give your third grade teacher an engagement ring, okay? That's not unless you're 32 and she's 22, okay? But, I'm talking about the right kind of gifts, appropriate gifts. You know, gifts. Say, the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave. God gives. And He expects us to give. You know, the attitude of love is always accompanied with giving. Do you know that? When you give somebody something, you're saying, I love you, I care about you. When you give somebody something, you're saying, I'm thinking about you. Yeah. Man, I came home the other day. And with a frozen Coke, my daughter Jeannie Mae loves frozen Cokes. And I brought her that frozen Coke, and I gave it to her. And you know what? She felt loved. Because she thought Daddy was thinking about me. I didn't even ask him for it. He just did it on his own, and he brought me my favorite thing. That says, you know, how much you'd be a blessing to your school teacher if maybe you come in class. Instead of giving them problems all the time and being a pain with a capital P, how about if you maybe bring them, find out what their favorite candy bar is. And just slip it to them. Just say, I was thinking about you. I want you to know that I appreciate what you do. Huh? I'm not talking about walking in, coming in class late and hold a big giant candy bar over your head. Hey, Teach. I got your favorite candy bar. This Reese's peanut butter cup. The Lord just laid it on my heart to get this for you. Now, I'm not talking about that being a showboat. I'm talking about you give it from the right spirit. You find out what people like and then give it to them. Hey, Sunday school teacher, this will help you reach your class. You got a kid that's hard to reach? Man, everybody responds to gifts. Everybody likes to get a gift. Find out what they're into. Find out, is he collecting baseball cards? Go buy some baseball cards and then give it to him. And he'll come in and he'll say, wow, you know, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how you can capture somebody's heart. You got a teacher that just seems like they got it out for you. It just seems like they look at you and just want to give out demerits. They just draw those demerits like a pistol. Pow! Miss Dawn used to do that to me all the time. You see Miss Dawn Mize back there, the last row of this section in the pink, and she's got a red face. Glasses, dark hair. She looks like a teenager, but she's really 65 years old. You'd never know that by looking at her. She looks 8. No, I'm kidding. But she used to give me so many demerits, and I never deserved them. But I captured her heart. I found out what she liked, and I gave it to her. I think. Anyway. But you know what? You got somebody that's just, maybe you got a teacher, and you feel like they got it out for you. Well, just buy them something. Do something for them. Shock them. They'll shock them to death. Huh? Yeah. Find out gifts. They say, you know, I love you. Remember, whenever it's the preacher's anniversary, you know, he feels loved when he walks in, all of a sudden his door is just plastered with notes. And you wrote it. My mom left this morning to go back down to Murfreesboro. She'd been up with us for a few days. And she said, Kevin, she said, I found a note. She said, KW wrote me a note last night. And she said, oh, man, I tell you what, KW can do no wrong. Woo, buddy, he scored some points big time with that. I mean, Mama felt so loved because he wrote her a note. Now, I doubt there's very many fellas in here that say, I just write my grandma a note every once in a while. You know, it's real rare. It's unusual for something like that to happen. But that note was saying, I love you. I'm going to miss you. I care about you. Huh? Yeah. Giving something, a gift. You know, gifts come in all sizes and shapes. Huh? Be creative. Remember their special days. You know, whenever we had that wreck back in 04, my boys lost their big knife collection in the wreck. And a buddy of mine found out that we had lost our knives. And he called me up and says, Kevin, did the boys lose their knives? I said, sure did, man. They lost most all of them. He said, I'll take care of that. And I didn't tell the boys. But Brother Tom got a bunch of knives, and he had their names engraved on them. He had big knives. He had machetes. He had switchblades, stilettos, all kind of, you know, brass knuckles, all that stuff. That's how we can drive that motorhome like that, as we go out at night. And anyway, but, no, he sent them all these knives, and they opened up that box of knives, and you thought it was Christmas, and they didn't even know. And they said, Dad, where'd this come from? And I says, Brother Tom sent those to you. You know, they don't know Brother Tom very well. We've not spent a whole lot of time with him. But they really feel loved, and they love him special because he sent them some knives. A gifts. Communicate. I love you. When's the last time you bought something for somebody? When's the last time you did something special for somebody else? Hey, at the heart of love is a spirit of giving. Let me give you another one. You'll like this. You know, you need to learn to do this. Right here. Okay, hold up your arm. Isn't that cute? Yeah. Now, this right here is going to represent being a happy housewife. Okay, no. This right here. First, we can say I love you with our what? Our words. We can say I love you with what? Gifts. Find out what your preacher likes. Brother House, his favorite, Reese's peanut butter cups. Everybody gave him Reese's peanut butter cups. His closet was filled with Reese's peanut butter cups. I mean, all the time, because people were saying I love you by doing that. Words, compliments, appreciation, and a little apron here. That's service. Doing something for somebody. Things that they would like for you to do. How about remember your homework? How about mom and dad coming into your room and it's already made. The bed's already made. Stuff's put away. It doesn't look like an explosion in an underwear factory. I mean, things are picked up. Whoa. Doing something for somebody, you know, the dishes are overflowing. Mama's legs are hurting her.
Daddy's wore out, been working so hard, and you come in there and just walk up to the sink and start doing dishes. I'll tell you what'll happen. You better call 911. That's what. They had a heart attack. That's what happened. You know what that's saying? That's saying, I love you, Mom. Huh? That's an act of service. Some people really feel loved when, you know, some people with their words, they hear positive, encouraging words, they feel so loved. Other people, they really feel loved with gifts. Gifts just really crank them up. Gifts motivate them. For somebody else, it might be an act of service. Service, something you can do. It requires thought, planning, time. Look over in John chapter number 13 real quick. John chapter number 13. John chapter 13. You say, what? How does that say I love you? How can doing something for somebody say I love you? Well, look here. John chapter 13. And verse number 14. It says, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Now here's Jesus. In the story here, we don't have time to read all the verses, but the disciples came in. He washed every one of their feet. He dried their feet. Now you know what? That is a low-class job. Okay? That's at the bottom of the rung. You know, if your job at the house is to wash people's feet when they come and visit, that is like at the bottom. And I know if some of you are thinking, my brother's feet, I would die. He takes off his shoes and everybody falls to the floor. Nasty. Die. Wash them. And Jesus washing their feet. And he says, now I want you to do what I've done. Jesus washed their feet. He was willing to do that. I wonder if one of these girls got sick and just puked all over the floor. One of them looks like you're going to do it any minute. And there was puke all over the floor. Would you be willing to clean that up? Or would you say, ew, not me. Somebody's got a servant's heart's willing to do anything. They'll do it. They'll take care of it. Preacher, you ain't got to worry about it. I'll sweep out the bus. I'll take care of it. Doing something, and they're probably thinking, wow, man, praise the Lord. I don't have to sleep out to sweep out the bus. Isn't that a blessing? Find somebody you can do something for. Jesus did that. I'm talking about you could show your wife that you love her by coming home and say, I'm going to cook a meal tonight. I don't know if that'd be real good, but anyway. But you could show love by maybe come home and just do some house cleaning, do some ironing, okay? Do some laundry, you know, mow all the grass, take out the garbage, something. Find out what is it that would mom and dad want you to do. We'll do that. What is it that they would appreciate? What is it would mean something to them? That says, I love you. An act of service. Preacher, whatever it is. Man, I'll take care of it. That's saying, I love you. Would to God, I tell you what, we could have revival in homes, Brother Jason, if husbands would learn how to express love to their wife by these things. We wouldn't have divorces. Wouldn't have people fussing and fighting and looking at another woman thinking about maybe I'd rather have her than what I got. Man, if they just get right with how they'd love each other and communicate and feel love, your kid wouldn't be thinking about running away from home if they felt love. Well, I bought them a ball glove. Are you an idiot in any other areas of your life? They want more than a ball glove. They want you to play ball with them. They want you to spend time with them. That's what they need. It's just you to take them out and do something with them. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time that you had time for your parents and you just told them, I want to be with you? My friends called up and they want me to come over and you're gone all the time and you got a busy schedule and you're going here, there, and yonder. How about if you just say, no, I'm going to stay home with Mom and Dad tonight. We're going to play some board games. I don't know what I do. Well, poker, blackjack. Huh? That says, I love you. Man, hey, let me give you something else. All right, we got to get on with this. Here we go. Let me give you something else. All right. We're learning how to say I love you. We do it with our words. Number two, with gifts. Do you know what your preacher's favorite drink is? Budweiser. No, who said that? An act of service. Is there something, what is it that you could do for your teacher or your mom or dad that would really make them feel loved? Something they would like for you to do. And then, how about this? How about time? Time. Hold that there, will you? Time. They want time. And in order to give time, you got to have big ears. Right there. Doesn't he look good? Time. You say, Brother Walker? Brother Walker, what does big ears got to do with time? Because if you spend time with somebody, you got to be a good listener. Not talking about you running your mouth doing all the talking because you won't talk about what you won't talk about. I'm talking about sometime be good for you to sit down and shut up and listen to what they got to say. Huh? Quality time. Giving that quality time, that's undivided attention. Husband and I, that's me and my wife, we spend time together sitting on the couch. Yeah, every Monday night we spend time. Yeah, you got the remote control and you're surfing the channels, you're watching Monday night football. Just because you're together don't mean that's quality time. I'm talking about being together. I'm talking about going for a walk. I'm talking about playing a game. I'm talking about girls. When was the last time you went up to your daddy and said, Daddy, how about you and I go on a date? Because you know he's going to buy. It's free. Okay? So I said, Dad, I want to just spend some time with you. You know, just sitting and talking. I mean, ladies, it might be a good thing for you if you're married to go hunting with your husband. You want to spend time with him and it's October? We'll get you some camo and sit in the tree stand with him. If you love your... Amen. I could see that. Huh? I could see Mrs. Angel in her camouflage. Sitting up in that tree with a lover boy. Well, they wouldn't get nothing. They wouldn't see no deer. They'd just be... Anyway. But you know, get involved in what they like. If you want to see, I guarantee you, you do that right because that boy or that girl, you're trying to get their attention. You know, that boy, he's crazy about football. And you don't know nothing about football. But all of a sudden, because you know he likes it, you try to dive into his world. Why? Because you love him. And you're watching that thinking, what are they doing? I don't understand what's going on here. But you get involved in their world. You get involved in what they like. Huh? You ought to do that with your kids. You ought to do that with your family. That shows them, hey, I love you. My daughter, Jeannie Mae, she'll sit down and watch a ball game with KW. And because he likes football and she just wants to spend some time with him. And he feels loved because she's putting herself into his world, getting involved in what he likes. And she's starting to realize that, well, there is a little bit of structure to that game. She's realizing that there is. Hey, now I see what they're doing, you know. Hey, they just had the ball, but they lost it. Why couldn't they keep that ball? Why did that? Well, you know, she asks all these questions. But she's learning. Be patient, okay? Hey, quality time. Learn how to listen. Do some things. Get involved in their world. That's going to help you. You know, boys, you say, my daddy never spends any time with me. Well, find out what he likes to do. Then just stay after him about doing it with you. Huh? Get involved in their world. That's going to help you. You learn how to do it now, it's going to help you in your relationships. It can't be your way all the time. See? And let me give you one more, and we'll be done. All right. Okay. All right. You got everything there? Okay, good. Well, he's doing a good job. So, you can say, I love you, and you can communicate it, because we're trying to learn how to love, and you can do that by, number one, with our what? Our words. What you say and how you say it. Huh? And then, number two, with what? Gifts. Find out what they like. And then with acts of service, doing something for somebody that you know they'll appreciate that you did it. And then, quality time. Spend some time with them. At least once a week, my wife and I, we go out to eat breakfast. And we go out real early. It's just her and I, and she knows that's her time. She feels loved when I say, hey, babe, you want to go out for breakfast? She likes that. And because she likes that, I'm going to make sure that we make that happen because I want to make her happy. Because when wifey's happy, everybody's happy. And then we got these big hands here, and that means touch. Touch says, I love you. A little while ago, we shook hands, didn't we? We're shaking right hands. To shake a right hand means that everything's okay between you and I. Because if you won't shake hands, you're ready to pop them with this hand. But the fact that I'm shaking your hand says everything's okay between us. You know, that touch, that pat on the back, that sometimes, and everybody's different. And there's appropriateness here. I'm not saying teenage boys. Well, Brother Walker said we're supposed to express our love, so ladies, line up. I want you to feel loved. That's not what I'm saying. Love you, hug your mama, hug your sister, okay? You need to be appropriate, but touch says, I love you. It communicates. Long before babies even understand it, they feel love when they're nurtured and they're cuddled and coddled and they're Gucci-gooed and they're kissed all over their face. And, you know, that baby feels loved. And they will grow up and be more secure, huh? And more confident when they're nurtured and they're loved. But a child that's left to themselves has problems. They don't feel loved. That's the problem. There's a lot of folks in prison just don't feel loved. There's a lot of folks making dumb decisions and bad mistakes because they don't feel loved. How many people have come to our churches and left because they didn't feel loved? So you need to learn how to do it. And depending on it, depending on the relationship, depending on who it is, but you communicate love by a touch. At a funeral, a loved one passes away. And what's one of the first things we usually do to that loved one who just lost their husband, who just lost... We go, you hug them because you're saying, I love you. You're saying, I'm thinking about you. I care about you. Huh? That old friend that you hadn't seen for a long time. Huh? I run across a preacher today, hadn't seen him in a long time, and I saw him. And, man, I went up to him. And, in fact, I run across, Brother Angel, I hadn't seen Alton Taylor, Randy Taylor's daddy. Hadn't seen him for 10 years. Hadn't seen him. And I saw him. He's at pastor school. And I couldn't believe it. There's a buddy there next to me. And I handed him my Bible. I says, hold this. And he and I made eye contact. And we made eye contact. I knew everything was okay between us. And I went over there to him. And I gave him a big old hug. I says, Brother Alton, it's so good to see you. He's an old buddy, friend of mine, given me money through the years, prayed for me. And he says, Kevin, he says, I want you to know I pray for you every morning. And you know, boy, that was, we each felt loved by the other. To know he was praying for me, he expressed that love. You need to learn how to express. When's the last time that you hugged your daddy and said, Daddy, I love you? When's the last time you hugged your mama and said, Mama, I love you? Huh? When was the last time you did that? It warmed my heart the other night whenever my youngest little Joe, he went up to his sister. It's time to go to bed. And he hugged her. He even kissed her on the cheek. Now, don't you tell him I said that. He will get so mad. But he loves her. There's no doubt. There's no doubt in her mind that her little brother loves her. No doubt. And because of that, they're very close in a healthy, right way, close. Huh? We need to learn to love. Just a moment, we'll have the invitation. You know what? There ought to be some folks down here getting right saying, you know what? My parents don't even think I love them. There might ought to be some teachers down here saying, you know what? My class, they think I hate them. Well, I've done a poor job in getting my love across, and I don't want there to be any doubt in their mind. We need to learn. Does your preacher wonder? Does he know that you love him? We need to learn to say, I love you. Because all these ways, and some things really mean more to other people than other things do. Because I'm telling you this to help you with your husband. I'm telling you this to help you with your wife. This to help you with your relationships with people, if you get a hold of this tonight. Because the Bible says, aged women teach them young ones how to love. They need to love their family and love their children and love their husband. What do we need to learn about love? How to express it by words. Number two, gifts. Number three, acts of service, quality, time, and touch. Yeah. I hope that you remember it. I remember when my daddy passed away. He was on his deathbed. We gathered around the table. We'd sung some songs and we'd prayed. And one of my best buddies was my daddy. And I remember I hugged him. I told him that I loved him. I rubbed my hand across his white whiskers whenever he gave that last. It was quiet. And I sensed that his spirit had left his body. And I laid my head down on his chest. And I heard his lungs filling up with liquid. And I just sensed that he was gone. I rubbed his cheek. And I said, goodbye, old friend. I love you. We were close. We knew how to express it. You need to learn how to do that. Let's bow our heads for prayer, shall we? Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. You can just lay that stuff down. Thank you, Jason. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. Dear Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight to learn how to love and how to communicate it. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help some folks to get close to their loved ones. Help them to learn how to have a good relationship with their mom, their dad, their preacher. Lord, with their fellow students. Lord, with their brothers and sisters. We need to learn how to love. Lord, you command us to love one another. And help us to learn how to express it. Oh, Lord, tonight, please help us. I said, your bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder who would say, Brother Walker, God spoke to me tonight. And there are some things that I could do to express my love. I failed in some areas and God spoke to me about it. Who'd raise your hand and say, that's me? That's me. That's me. I failed in some areas about expressing my love to my preacher, to my teachers, to my family. Huh? How about you? Thank you. You can put your hands down. I wonder who's here tonight. Say, Brother Walker, there's been times in my life where I've not felt loved. I felt like nobody loved me. Nobody cared. And my heart is hurt because I just didn't feel loved by those around me. I wonder who'd say, Brother Walker, that's me. I've been there. I felt that way before. Yeah, my hand's up. I'm sure yours is too. Now, just a moment, we'll stand and have the invitation. Whatever your need is, you obey the Lord tonight and find yourself a place here. It would be a good thing for maybe some moms and dads to get together. Maybe if your daddy or mama's here, maybe your preacher's here, maybe there's somebody that you just need to pray with or talk about this. You obey the Lord tonight. Let's all stand together. Lord, pray you blessing this invitation. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be tender and we'd respond correctly. As you work in our hearts, Holy Spirit, we ask this in your precious name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as the invitation begins right now. God spoke to your heart. He's dealt with you in some form or fashion. You leave your seat. Come on down here to the front. Find yourself a place to pray and say, Lord, oh, help me learn how to love. Help me to learn how to love. Maybe you got somebody in your family that's not easy to love. Maybe you got somebody that's mistreating you. I don't know. Does your preacher know that you love them? Does your mom and daddy know that you love them? Does your Sunday school class know that you love them, teacher? Is there any doubt in their mind? Oh, help us to learn how to do it. Will you go home and do this and your relationship at home could be so much better? Home could be heaven instead of hell if we learn how to love. Let's forget about ourselves and try to think of them. Think of your family. Think of your preacher. It requires thought, time, energy, planning. You spend as much time as you need. You might need to find if that person's here. You might need to go to that youth director or that pastor. Say, I want you to know I love you and I thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for the time you spent and you've invested in our family. You spend as much time as you need praying. When you're finished, you quietly go back to your seat. If somebody's praying behind you, don't disturb them. Just let them finish praying. That's what we need today, is to learn how to love and how to communicate.